Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Yes, you guys are at a stage in your life where I'm sure people are beginning or are exhausting you with the question, what are you going to do? Or what does your future look like? Or where is God calling you? Or what is God's will for the rest of your life? When someone asks you that question, what emotions, what thoughts, what feelings, what attitudes do you feel? Or maybe asked a slightly different way, when someone asks you, what is the will of God for your life? What do you think they mean? Or how would you answer that question? What is God's will for your life? What would you say? I would love for you to take the next 2 or 3 minutes and just talk about those things with the people right next to you. Go ahead. God's will. When you think about it, what comes to your mind? What do people mean? How do you feel? What do you think God's will is for you? Go ahead, talk. What does that mean? All right, what do you think? How would you answer any one of those questions that I asked? Okay, so it's complicated. Nice. Sometimes that complication produces stress too, doesn't it? Any other thoughts? Someone already went first. Going second's easy. You know that, right? Yeah. Okay, so a lot of times when we talk about God's will for us, we think profession, we think career, we think calling, we think what job is God does God want for me for the rest of my life? Okay? Someone else? Yes. It's not always easy, right? Sometimes there are challenges to know exactly how God is leading. We just sang about that, right? And these examples of, you know, Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration and the nation of Israel by the Red Sea. You know, there are all of these moments that are full of difficulty and challenge and need discernment. Anyone else? One more. I mean, going fourth is super easy. Yes. Okay, good. What God's revealed in His Word, that is His will. Excellent answer. Let's look at Colossians 1, 9 through 14 together this morning. Let's read it together. This is the passage we are going to study together. And just know from the outset that in Greek, these verses are all one sentence. Paul is famous for writing very long run-on sentences. So if your English teacher says, hey, you know, that's a run-on sentence, just say, well, the Apostle Paul did it. So what we're looking at today, what we're studying, is one sentence. This is one thought. And so we'll look at how these ideas that are found in this sentence relate to one another. But let's read Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so as we think about this passage, we are going to look at it in three sections, again, even though it is one sentence. Verse 9 focuses on this very idea of what it is that the will of God pertains to. Let's read verse 9 again. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul and those with him, when they think about the church at Colossae, they pray that they would know God's will for them. You see that? That they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Does that sound like a prayer that you pray? God, fill me with the knowledge of Your will. Give me understanding about what You are doing. I think if we're honest, the reality is most of the time when we're praying, we're making requests, and in essence, what we're doing is, God, Thy will be changed rather than Thy will be done. Often we pray, God, change this or fix this or solve this. And I wonder if that's how we are to pray. I wonder if our focus needs to shift from, God, change my circumstances, to, God, Your will be done. Show me what You want me to do. Show me how You're going to grow me through this. When so often we pray, God, change something. And so what's the big picture? The big picture for this section is that we would know the full and exactness of all God's will, in this case for the Colossians, but for ourselves as well. And what is the will of God? That's the big question. What is the will of God? Well, He tells us exactly what the will of God is. Here's our answer. The answer is that the will of God is what God has revealed in His Word to be correct regarding both belief and behavior. That's God's will. God's will is what God has revealed in His Word to be correct regarding both belief and behavior. I'll say it one more time. What is the will of God? God's will is what God has revealed in His Word to be correct regarding both belief and behavior. Belief, we would call faith. Behavior, the Bible tends to call works, right? And we see the connection, especially when you look at the book of James, for example, the connection between faith and works. But that, in essence, is what the will of God is. The will of God is not so narrow that it is, hello, student, this is where you should go to college. Hello, person, this is what you need to do for the next 60 years of your life. God's will is so much better than that. God's will is, here is what you should do today. Here is how to think about the world and your circumstances. Here is how to live your life to glorify God. That's God's will. That's God's will. Let's continue to read what he says. Verse 9, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Notice that this wisdom, this knowledge of God's will, once again, is spiritual. That means it's of the Spirit. That means it is the Holy Spirit who is within us, who reveals those times when our beliefs and behaviors do not match the will of God. And he brings conviction to our hearts. He lets us know, oh, you thought wrongly about this, or oh, you behaved wrongly in that area. That's one of the Holy Spirit's primary functions. Ephesians 5 tells us to be filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit is to control and direct our lives. That it is the Spirit that reveals within us when our thinking or our behavior do not match what God has for us. And so very simply, that is the will of God, that we believe and behave according to God's word. That's God's will. Sometimes we make it more than that. But that's God's will. And there's a reason then that this following after God's will so often in Scripture is called a walk, as it is here. It's a walk. Did you notice that? As you read the Scriptures, do you notice that my relationship with God so often is described as a walk, my walk? Slow, long, steady growth. It's very easy to think that my life with Jesus sort of rests on the peaks of camp and some retreat and some special service. That's not where growth happens. Growth happens in the steady walk of day-to-day life. That's where growth happens. Let's read about this walk. Verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. And we'll talk about bearing fruit in just a minute. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. In other words, your goal for today ought to be living in a God-glorifying way. That's your goal for today. Each day you wake up, one day at a time, you ought to pray, to think, to meditate on, God, how can I live in a way that honors you today? If that is at the forefront of your mind, then your walk will match that. There's a reason Romans 12, 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, describes that we are not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What Paul means is that daily I am reminding myself of my relationship with Jesus and my God-given purpose to glorify Him. The Christian life is a marathon. It is making the right choices day after day after day. It is a journey of faith that is a steady growth. And so often we chase these emotional experiences, these mountaintops, to sustain us when they can't. I know I don't look it, but a couple years ago, I ran a marathon. My wife had run one a year or two before that, I forget, and I was like, well, dear, the next one you run, I'll run with you. And then, sure enough, a year or two later, she's like, I think I'm ready to run another one. Great. Well, I guess I have to, too. Too often, we treat the Christian life like we can just show up and run a marathon. It's not how it works. It is training. It is daily decisions. It is building up stamina. That's what the Christian life is. It is making the right decision day after day after day. There are reasons why when people talk about what to do to grow closer to Jesus, they always say the same three or four things. There's a reason for that. Reading your Bible every day makes a huge difference. Praying every day makes a huge difference. Those are the steps that are needed in order to glorify God with your walk. And can I say something? One of the reasons why camp sort of hits differently is because all of the distractions are removed and you actually are in God's Word every day. Do you think about that? If you go home and you're in God's Word every day, then your walk will continue to grow. But it takes effort. It takes discipline. We'll talk about prayer a little later on in Colossians, but I think the biggest challenge for you and I for prayer is concentration. That is the biggest obstacle for us to overcome. We do not pray because we cannot concentrate enough to pray, to actually pray. Again, we just got back from Uganda last week, and you know, in the African church, it was being described to us by our missionaries that we support that all-night prayer gatherings are pretty commonplace in Africa. They pray all night. They pray from sundown to sunup. I got to be honest, I don't regularly participate in those sorts of things. But then I got to thinking, well, why is that? And the conclusion I came to is I don't have the focus, the concentration to be able to do that. Something to think about. So as we think about this walk, this one day at a time living to bring glory to God, there are four characteristics that Paul gives here in this section. Four characteristics of this walk. And the first one is found in verse 10. We see it again. We saw it last night. Bearing fruit in every good work. That's the first one. Bearing fruit continuously. And we asked ourselves last night, is my life bearing the fruit of love as the gospel takes root and produces that fruit in me? Bearing fruit. This is exactly what James is talking about when he's talking about faith and works and their relationship. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you are in Christ, you will produce much fruit. So bearing fruit is a hallmark of this walk, a characteristic of this steady walk that is the Christian life. And so I ask you again, is your life bearing fruit? Can you point to characteristics, qualities in your life that are similar to Jesus, that God is developing within you as you journey with Christ? That's the first characteristic, bearing fruit continuously. The second, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you growing as you study the Word? As you learn more about Jesus? Philippians 3 is another one of my favorite passages. And Paul describes his former life, all of the things that he chased after, and he comes to a point and says, but I count all things as loss. But for the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul understood that the only thing that matters is that I know Jesus more. That is my life's primary goal, is a knowledge of Jesus. And so, if we are walking as God wants us to walk, our knowledge of Jesus ought to be growing. And there's an intimacy there. It's not just, oh, I can have theological debates with my buddies. Those have their place. They're okay. But do I actually know Jesus? And you know what the Bible says? We'll talk about this later in Colossians 2. I'm super excited about it. Do you know the primary way you know Jesus better in life? It's actually suffering. That's the primary way. The New Testament talks over and over and over again about that. When we face suffering, what do? Typically, we say, God, remove the suffering. I don't like it. Instead, we're praying, God, help me to know Christ more in this suffering. When I suffer, I can identify with Christ in his sufferings. You see the difference there? It's not, God, thy will be changed. It's, God, thy will be done. So again, increasing in knowledge. That's the second characteristic. So we have bearing fruit. We have increasing in knowledge. The third characteristic of our walk, verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Again, this is a theme that is so common in the New Testament. What does James 1 say? Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. We recognize that there is this principle that the more I face difficulty, the more endurance, the more perseverance that God produces in my life. And that that's a good thing. Can you imagine if you were an athlete and you wanted to get bigger and you hit the weight room and you lifted every day and you never got any stronger? Does that make sense? Does that really happen? No. Well, the same is true in the Christian life. If you do the things that God wants you to do, you will see perseverance. You will see endurance. You will see your strength increase. And that's the principle here. And this gaining strength often involves patience. It often involves joy. And even when you work out a little bit, you start to notice that. My wife, Julie, running marathons, says, you know, there are times when she's on like mile 13 where she starts to feel really good. I think she's nuts. But there is a joy that comes. I don't understand it. Those of you who like to lift, I'm sure there are days where you're lifting, you're like, this, I'm really enjoying this. I can see that my hard work is paying off. I can see that, you know, I just set a new max for bench because that's what all that matters. But that produces joy as you build this endurance. So four characteristics of this walk. We have first, bearing fruit. We have second, increasing in the knowledge of God. We have third, gaining strength. And number four, we mentioned it last night. Paul's going to mention it many times in this letter. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks is the fourth characteristic of this walk that demonstrates that we are steadily growing. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Being around thankful people is pretty infectious. It really is. We have someone on our staff, our worship leader, his name's Brighton, Pastor Brighton. His thankfulness is infectious. What a mature believer. Every other year, the pastors at our church get a summer study break. We get a month to just sort of recuperate, do some personal study and grow, spend time with our families. Well, two summers ago, Pastor Brighton had his summer study break. And so he had all these plans, places they were going to go, family they were going to see, things he was going to do. And basically for that whole month, he was sick as could be. Stayed at home, was bedridden for a lot of it. And so he comes back to work after a month. And I say, Pastor Brighton, I'm sorry things didn't work out for you how I'm sure you wanted. How was your summer study break? And he said, you know what, Matt, I'm just thankful. I'm like, dude, you're crazy. Thankful. This month was supposed to be, you know, all of these refreshing activities, and instead you feel like you're going to die the whole time. He had his gallbladder out, so he was fine, but that was his response. He said, I'm thankful for this experience. He said, I learned so much through it. Thankfulness, again, is a mark of maturity. Thankfulness. In everything, give thanks. That's what we're called to do. So we have these four characteristics. But we also have motivations. It is not as if it's just like, okay, do all this hard stuff. There are reasons why we ought to be compelled to take the steps needed to steadily grow in our walk. And he gives us three here. Again, back to verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You and I have gone from slaves to heirs. We are God's children. Let that sink in. If you place your faith in Jesus, you are God's son or daughter. When at first you were alienated from him, and now you have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. You get to receive the blessings from God because he is a father who loves you. That ought to motivate me to get up in the morning and read my Bible, right? To get up in the morning and pray. I've gone from a slave to a son. Galatians talks about that. Beautiful. So that's our first motivation. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Our second motivation is that he has rescued us from Satan's domain. Ephesians 2 says, we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, completely hopeless. We were of our father, the devil. Completely lost, hellbound, no hope. God delivered us. He made us alive in Christ. And then our third motivation. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and thirdly, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are now transferred to Christ's kingdom, both now and for eternity. What a glorious day when Christ returns and he sits on David's throne and he rules the new heavens and the new earth forever, and we get to be a part of that kingdom. He says he's going to wipe all the tears from our eyes. There's no more pain and sorrow and sadness. Which means that we can endure those things now in our walk, knowing that they are temporary, knowing that we will be completely delivered when Jesus returns. That's exciting. We've been given redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So what's our big idea for this morning as we close? We are called to know God's will Again, the right beliefs and the right behaviors according to his word, that's God's will, so that our walk, that steady growth, is pleasing and glorifying to him. We are called to know God's will. Do you have the right beliefs? Do you have the right behaviors? So that our walk, that is characterized by bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge and gaining strength and giving thanks, so our walk is pleasing and glorifying to him. He deserves it. We're motivated because of what he has done for us. And so as we conclude, I want to conclude with our faith response, two of them. First, at some point today, when you get a chance, write down your thoughts on what God's will is according to his word. Think about this. Now, does God care about where you go to college? Sure, he does. That's not unimportant. But is God more concerned that you believe and behave according to his will, how he wants you to live? Yes, he's far more concerned about that. Far more concerned. What you believe and how you act. So write down your thoughts on God's will. What does that look like for you specifically today? What are some areas of your thinking, your beliefs that need to change? What are some areas of your behaviors that need to be more conformed to Jesus because you're not living as Christ did? Write down your thoughts. And then number two, consider the four characteristics of the walk. Again, we have bearing fruit, we have increasing in knowledge, we have gaining strength or endurance, and we have giving thanks. Think about those four characteristics. Where are you strong? You can say, okay, yes, my walk is where it should be in this area, but where are you weak? Say, man, you know what? I need to be more thankful. You know what? I need to build up endurance instead of just wanting God to remove all hardship from me. Consider those four characteristics. And so my prayer for you today, my prayer for you as we continue throughout this week, is that you would know what God wants you to believe and how God wants you to behave. And in so doing, your walk would be pleasing to our Savior Jesus. Because our lives are not our own. They belong to Christ. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your tremendous love for us. We recognize that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That you loved us and you saved us. And so, God, I pray that that salvation, that your infinite blessings would motivate us to daily live in a way that glorifies you. God, I pray that you would fix those errors that are in our thinking or in our actions. God, may our faith and our works match up with your word. And God, I pray that as we continue this steady, lifelong walk, that we would be bearing fruit, that we would be growing in knowledge, that we would be building strength and endurance, and that we would be giving thanks. May these characteristics describe our walk with you. God, we pray for your Spirit to work in our hearts, to change us, to conform us to the image of your Son. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.